the word of God. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel, and as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, so that it may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the ark of the covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. When the ark of the Lord's covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learned that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. "A god has come into the camp," they said. "We're in trouble. Nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the kind of plagues in the desert. Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. That same day, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh. His clothes were torn and dust on his head. When he arrived, there was Eli sitting on his chair by the side of the road, watching, because his heart feared for the ark of God. When the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. "Eli heard the cry of us. What is the meaning of this uproar?" The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old and whose eyes were set so that he could not see. He told Eli, "I have just come from the battle line. I fled from it this very day." Eli asked, "What happened, my son?" The man who brought the news replied, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured." When he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. He had led Israel 40 years. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of delivery. When she heard the news that the ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains. As she was dying, the women attending her said, "Don't despair. You have given birth to a son. but she did not respond or pay any attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because of the capture of the Ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured." This is the inspired 11th word of God. Amen. Bibles, please, if you would like to follow with me in the passage that Alan read to us from 1 Samuel and from chapter 4. I always like to think of one or two visitors that may be with us. If you are visiting us today, we are busy on Sunday mornings going through the book of 1 Samuel. We'll cover a chapter a week. And what we have seen over the previous three chapters has been very simply an introduction into the life of Samuel. We saw how he was born into this wonderful home of Elkanah and Hannah, and how when he was a very young boy, he was dedicated to the Lord. And when he was an early teenager, about 17, 18 years of age, we saw last Sunday how God came and called him, gave him a very clear call that he was going to be a spokesman for God to Israel. A wonderful, wonderful story of a young boy who gives his all to serve Jesus. But sadly, running concurrently with that is a tragic story. And it's the story of Eli and his family. And just as Samuel and Elkanah and Hannah are such a great model for us, the warnings from Eli and his two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, is very, very tragic. And the chapter we come to this morning, friends, is a scary one, if I may say that to you. And when you go home today, I want you to read over this chapter. And if I could say this to you, what is the worst thing that could ever happen in your life? The very worst. What's the worst thing that could ever happen to Christchurch Pinetown? The worst that could ever happen. Let me tell you what it is. If God ever had to write the word Ichabod over our church or over our life. We're going to come to that now and explain it to you. What it really means is when the glory of God departs. The glory of God departs. Let's have a look at that. There are three things I want you to notice, if I may draw that to your attention. With regard to chapter 4, the first thing is the defeat of Israel in verses 1 to verse 11. Now, from your reading of the Old Testament, you will have picked up often how their enemies, time and time again, were the Philistines. They were always at war. The Philistines, you may remember, were a sea people. They came originally from the island of Crete. And then they settled along the coast of modern-day Israel around Gaza in 1175 B.C. And that's interesting, isn't it? So nearly 2,000 years B.C., the Israelites and the Philistines were having a go at each other, and they're still having a go at each other. They were in many, many ways in those days superior to the Israelites in almost every department. They were stronger military-wise, they were stronger technology-wise, they were stronger administratively-wise, and in every way they were superior to the Israelites. And here they are focused around Gaza, and they said to themselves, "We want to expand." So what did they do? "We must go against Israel." So listen to what it says. "Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites were camped at Ebenezer, the Philistines at Apek. And the Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel, and as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them." So here were these enemies, the Israelite people, and the Philistines at war. And the tragic thing that happened again is that in this particular battle, 4,000 men's lives were taken. Terrible. Lost. But what that led to, first of all, was that they asked the right question. It's interesting to notice that, isn't it? Look down there at verse 3. When they get back and find out all that has happened, the question that they did ask was this. Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today? That's the right question, isn't it? It's a question that I'm sure you may have asked, and most people ask when things go wrong. They say, why did God allow this? Why did God permit this? Why did God bring this? So here we have lost 4,000 men. Why did God allow it? See, they wouldn't realize at that particular stage that God was sovereign. That really what he was wanting to do was to bring home very clearly to them their sinful lifestyles, so that they would repent of those lifestyles, turn afresh to God, and walk with him. That's what God wanted. But they wouldn't do that. Secondly, they went in the wrong direction. See what's happened? The Israelites have lost the battle. 4,000 sons and dads were killed. Surely you would have said to yourself, they should have come and said, how do we go back to God? How do we return back to God? We've learned this horrendous lesson. How can we get rid of what is not right and come back to the Lord? But you know what, my dear friends? They didn't do that. They wouldn't do that. Instead, they did something amazing. So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the ark. So they didn't ask God to come back to them. What they really said is, bring back the ark. Our trust is in the ark. The ark will help us. The ark will rescue us. And that's frightening. Now that ark was very important to the Israelites. No doubt about that. Will you allow me to refresh your memories? I know you know it, but just in case some folks are not familiar. Remember the tabernacle? That big tent? It was divided into two. You had the holy place, and then you had the most holy place. In the most holy place was the ark. It's a box. Over that box were two angels. Over what was called the mercy seat. In the box were a copy of the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod at one stage. And that was a symbol. It was a symbol of the presence of God. But what did the Israelites do wrong? They put their trust in a piece of wood. They put their trust in a superstitious idea that this box would help us. Listen to how the New Bible Commentary, it's so helpful to me, put it like this. The Israelites had made a fetish from the ark. While they recognized that God was responsible for their defeat, they considered that the physical presence of the ark would inevitably bring them victory. And they should have known better. You know what happens, friends? There's a lot of folks around our world who have a lot of personal relationship with Jesus. They put all their emphasis onto fetishes and superstition. I may illustrate it in another way. Some years ago, I had the tremendous joy of leading a lady to Christ. It was a wonderful conversion. Actually, it just comes Mr. Marnow, his son, became a Christian at the holiday club that we used to run. And he went back to his mother, who was a very devout Roman Catholic, and told his mom what had happened. And then his mom came to see us, and we had the joy of explaining the gospel to her. And so she gives her heart to Jesus. It was lovely, wonderful to see. But what struck me was about a week later, she came to my office and she said, Warwick, I just want to leave these with you. And she left a packet on my desk. And when she had left, I opened the packet. What was in this packet? And you know what there was? There was a rosary and a beautiful picture of Jesus that she used to stick above her bed and one or two other aids to devotion. And she said these words. She says, you know, I don't need those anymore. Every night she would touch the picture of Jesus and feel, well, I've done that now. It's going to be okay during the night. You'll protect me. And in the car there was a Saint Christopher. You'll protect me from all danger on the road. And then she would say a rosary. You see, there was no confidence in Jesus. There was confidence in other things. And that's a big danger of people. Instead of focusing on Christ, instead of focusing on the Lord, they focused on a box. Be very, very careful, my brothers and sisters, that all our trust is only in Christ. So what was the result? It was even worse. Look at verse 10. So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated. Every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. They lost about 30,000 men. It's terrible. 30,000. They go into battle. We got the box. We got the ark. But they never went to God. So they run into battle, and it was a disaster. It was a disaster. Not only were 30,000 killed, but the ark was captured. And Eli's two sons were killed. It's terrible. Absolute defeat. What's the second thing you notice just quickly? In verse 12 to verse 18. It was the death of Eli. Remember last Sunday when we were together? We saw how God came to young Samuel and said, Samuel, I want you to go to Eli. I want you to give him a hard message. You must tell Eli that he's going to die and his two boys. And here now it comes about. That same day a Benjamite ran from the battle. And he went to Shiloh, his clothes were torn, and there was dust on his head. And when he arrived there, there was Eli sitting in his chair by the side of the road, watching, because his heart feared for the ark. And when the man entered the town and told him what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. Eli heard the outcry, and he feared, what is the meaning of this uproar? And the man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old. Just two things you notice there. The one was with what fear he expected these tidings. He hears this huge uproar, and he realizes something's gone wrong. And the fear that he had was that the ark had been captured. But that wasn't all. There was tremendous grief. This man comes to Eli and says, Eli, your two sons have died. The ark is gone. Hophni and Phinehas are dead. And the Bible tells me that verse 18, when he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell backwards. He's 98. He's a very big man. He fell off his chair by the side of the gate. And as he fell, his neck was broken. And he died, absolutely grief-stricken. His boys had died godless, absolutely godless. He had served Israel for 40 years, but didn't look after his family. His sons are dead, and the ark is gone. And Israel's in a mess. we ask you this morning, the glory has departed. At the same time, Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, is about to give birth. And when she hears that the ark is gone, and when she hears that her husband has died, she goes into labor, and she gives birth to a son. And sadly, as she gives birth to a son, she herself dies. But just before that, she names her son. What are you going to call him? And she says these words. There it is, very, very clearly. She named the boy Ichabod. The glory has departed from Israel. Because of the capture of the ark of God and the death of her father-in-law and her husband, she said the glory has departed from Israel. The ark of God has been captured. She comes across as a woman of tremendous piety in a very immoral and tragic day. But what is her proclamation? She makes this proclamation. God has left Israel. The glory of God has gone. For those of you who enjoy reading the prophets, if you look into the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel sees the same thing happening. He goes into the temple and he writes the word Ichabod. The glory of God that used to be there, Ezekiel sees gone, slowly departing out of the temple. The glory of God has departed. You can travel all over the world today, and you can come across churches that used to preach the gospel. And today they're art studios, sometimes bingo halls, sometimes social centers. Ichabod. God has departed. There are some theological colleges that used to teach the Bible. And today, you write the word Ichabod. The glory of God departs. Mary and I enjoy watching the Travel Channel. And if you watched it last night, we watched it just for a few moments, and this man was traveling around looking for these storms. And he said this, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. He says, you know, I was brought up in a Christian home, like so many of my fellow Americans. But I've given it up now. I saw that it was irrelevant. You write the word. Ichabod. God's glory has departed. Oh, my dear friend, my brothers and my sisters in Christ, I say to you with love and humility this morning, watch, watch over your life. Watch. Watch that you never grow cold. Watch that you never wander. Watch that God never writes the word Ichabod. Please pray for us that God will never write the word Ichabod where the glory of God departs. Let's pray. Lord, there's some passages in the Bible that are just incredibly challenging for us, and this is one of them. To see your people who have been given the law, the prophets, who have been given the tabernacle, and yet wandering so far away from you, putting their confidence into an ark instead of God, having a religion without God. Oh, Father, please forgive us our many sins. And help us, Lord, each day to watch over our walk with Jesus, that we would never grow cold, that we would never put our priorities in the wrong place, but help us always to walk with Jesus, to put our confidence not in any religious things, but only in Christ, that we would look unto Jesus alone, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And, oh God, I pray that we would never see the word Ichabod, the glory of God, departs.